Pastor Ross. Oh. At least I put that in a tight and comfortable place, and apparently I didn't have safe. So I got to tell you, though, it is great being back. It's great being here, being with my home family, my home church. It's such a privilege and honor. But I got to tell you, though, nothing strikes fear into the heart of someone speaking when you listen to Let Your Kingdom Come. We'll preach till our dying breath. I thought I'd get a couple more chuckles out of that, but I guess not. All right. I want to read these verses before I begin. Ephesians 4, 15, and 16 are the verses I want to narrow in onto today. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I'm going to pray quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the blessing to be home back in Wisconsin. It's such a privilege and honor to be here, to see my home, to see my home church where I grew up in, and have the privilege of being here, Lord. And I pray that the message I'm about to speak now will come from you, Lord, and not from me. Lord, it's only by your grace, your power, and your wisdom that I'm able to stand here today and proclaim your great gospel message, Lord. And though, in my opinion, I may be lacking or flawed in some areas, Lord, I pray that you would be willing and able to work in this message. In your pray, amen. Amen. So there's one main thing I want to get across to you today. So if you forget everything else, there's one thing I want you to remember. That speaking truth and love towards one another is a responsibility for each of us to become molded into Christ. So the very first thing I want to focus on that of the two part is speaking the truth in love. And some of you know that this past year I started working at a gym and teaching fitness classes. And that is something I enjoy and I really love to do. And it's been a great opportunity to be an impact on people's lives and show them good habits they can incorporate into their daily living. However, it was a really long process at first learning how to do that. And I'm really grateful to my boss for being so patient with me. I remember the first day there, and the first thing I was told to do was teach the warm-up. Now I'm like, okay, I've done fitness before, I've taught instruction, I'm like, this can't be that hard, and it's just a warm-up. And so normally what you do in a warm-up, just a few arm circles, a couple band pull-aparts, maybe like a leg swing or two, something like that, just to get them all warmed up. Is that what I did? Not even close. So I'm like, all right, what I'm going to do, because this is like a prestigious club, it's a prestigious gym, I'm going to get some push-ups in there. Oh, push-ups are just a little too easy for the warm-up. Let's get some running in there. Let's get some sprinting. At the end of the warm-up, what was supposed to be about 5 minutes actually turned into 15 minutes, and they were all gasping for air. And I was like, all right, here we go. All right, that wasn't terrible. But then I saw the look of desperation come across their faces, and they realized, you know, this is just the warm-up. We still have about 45 minutes to go. So if that was the warm-up, how hard is the actual class and how hard is the actual exercise going to be? And so after that class, my boss woke up to me and he said, how do you think it went? Honestly, I knew it was terrible, but I said it wasn't that bad and there were some things that I could improve upon, trying to show some confidence like after that fiasco. I expected him to respond saying, that was absolutely terrible. What the heck were you doing? Or, do you know anything about fitness at all? But instead, he said, not Jesus, my boss. He said, I expected that you might not do well, considering it is your first time teaching group fitness class, and though it was not great, I can see that you care and want them to get better in their goals. When I heard him say that, I was honestly shocked. That he didn't chew me out or yell at me. Rather, he spoke truth to me in love and demonstrated that he cared for me. Ever since then, I have made many mistakes, but each time he has been gracious to me. Brothers and sisters, I share this story because I believe it can be a good example of what speaking truth in love according to this verse can look like. Often, we can be blind, ignorant, or not honest with ourselves and where we need to grow, and without the community here at church, it can be virtually impossible to grow to become more like Christ. The verse goes on to say, from the whole body. The verse does not say one part of the body. You don't have an ear that can be trying to walk or a foot trying to open a door. That will be very challenging to do. Each of us has a responsibility to one another to grow to become more like Christ. So my second point then is recognizing our responsibility. For those of you who love fitness, many of you know what I'm talking about when someone is called an upside-down pair. Usually, what that means is the person goes into a gym and only ever works on the upper body strength. They come in, do a lot of benching exercises, pull-ups, rows, and so on, stuff like that. They refuse to ever do a single day of leg exercises because often it is more challenging and feels uncomfortable. What happens as a result of that training is they become very strong, have a lot of muscles built in their upper body, but their legs look like twigs. And as a result, it seems like if they take one single step, they're going to fall over and they're just going to snap and break. The next thing you know, they're visiting my mother and the ER nurse. Well, she's not the ER nurse anymore, but they would have been visiting her in the ER, as an ER nurse there. And so I'm just like, I look at that and I think, oh my goodness, what are you doing? What made you do that decision? And it's really not even healthy for that person to keep doing it. And so because it's not healthy, if the legs are weak, and how the body works, the legs are weak, the muscles in the upper body will stop growing. Because if your muscles in your upper body become too heavy for the legs to hold and to bear, your body will break, literally break. So your body is smart enough to say, okay, we're going to stop growing so the legs don't. And so now, why do I share that silly example, and why do I keep bringing up fitness? First, I believe that when talking about the body, it can be helpful to better understand that same analogy Paul made in writing Ephesians. Secondly, when applying that analogy to church, it demonstrates that each of us has a responsibility towards one another. If the arms are strong, they have responsibility to show and demonstrate to legs how to become stronger. Only through the body working together in sync will become more healthy, strong, and tightly connected, become more like Christ. And so when I spent a year at Third Avenue Baptist Church while going to Boyce College, I was honestly so amazed by the people there and the commitment they had to one another. One of the things they did is they had an email system set up as their way of serving one another and strengthening the body. If someone had a need for prayer, they would send out a mass email that everyone would receive and the whole community would pray for. There would also be needs to help someone move, and I particularly remember one incident involving a World War II heavy metal desk in a basement with a steep, very steep, narrow staircase and about 30 minutes of effort. At the end of that 30 minutes, you can imagine everyone's kind of frustration when we realized that there was no possible way we could twist, turn, or get it up that staircase. So to keep that like kind of story but shorter here, where is the desk right now? It's in the basement. And they're not there anymore, and the next people try to move it too, they weren't able. So that was very fun trying to get that out. I reference these stories from there to show and further point out that each one of us has a need depending on the season of life we're in. Some of us may be moving from one location to another and they may need help moving. One of us may need a need for prayer, whether it's for an unsafe family member or for a personal struggle that's going on in your life. And most of the time, there's always someone that can be prayed for. And so sometimes I think we need to be reminded about the greatness of God and others. There may be manual labor that is involved and how we can help others as well. In any of these circumstances, it is easy to not meet the needs of another. It is easier to sit down on the couch and start watching TV or be consumed with what is going on in our life. In all honesty, I have looked at more of the emails about a need for prayer than actually taking the time to pray for those needs myself. However, in the long run, it is so much more rewarding both for yourself and for others when you show up and say to someone in a hard or stressful circumstance, I am here and ready to help. Point me to the direction in that metal desk. Even though we may not be able to get that desk out of there, that we may not be able to do anything at all, I am here willing to help and support you. Because ultimately, who's the one working in these circumstances and situations? Am I the one working? No. It is the Lord who is the one working through me to be a motivation, to be an encouragement, to be a guide towards that person. And it is also so rewarding. There's been times where we've gone to move someone, and instead of, you know, 2-3 people show up, we literally have 25 people show up to help move one person. And that's most of the members of the community. We get done in 10 minutes, and that person standing there, all of that anxiety, all of that stress come across their face, just vanish. And it's like, wow, I have such a community, such a membership, such a people that care for me, that are willing to serve And that just strengthens us as a whole. And so let us think about and be diligent in asking how we can help others. Not only should we be willing in offering help, but willing in showing that we need help. I honestly think that that's also half the battle. It can be easy to think we can handle everything ourselves, but from time to time, we need a leg or an ear to help us out. So though that this message was shorter and kind of brief, I pray that this kind of struck home. But how can we be diligent in helping others? How can we be diligent also in receiving help? There's going to be times and circumstances in our life where we need to admit, I need help. I need someone to help, to guide me, to lead me, and to say, I made a mistake. I have done way too much in the warm-up. They're all exhausted. They're all tired. I need help to get better. So our response then is to say, okay, I'm willing to give it. I'm willing to receive it. And I'm willing to be part of this community, not only for my sake, but for the sake of those I'm helping as well. And oftentimes, we are rewarded as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much, even though this message was brief, I thank you so much that I was able to be here, to be back in Wisconsin, and to proclaim your gospel. I pray that you will be working, that you will be moving in this church, Lord, as I have seen, as I have been growing up here, Lord. I pray that you would impact this body and these members deeply, and that we would grow together to become more like you, that we would not be tossed to and fro by the waves that come in our life, but rather remain steadfast and strong, knowing that it is our friends, it is our family who we get to meet on a regular basis. And oh, what a wonderful encouragement that is, that we're not going to church for ourselves and ourselves alone, but rather to praise you and also to meet the needs of the members of our community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.